It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon and welcome to the broadcast. I'm Family Life News anchor Sarah Harnish. Soak it in. Unseasonably warm temperatures from Buffalo to Scranton. And guess what? It's about to get even warmer. 70 degrees today, 83 by Friday. That is 20 degrees above normal. Kevin will have your full forecast coming up in a few minutes. We start in Kentucky in terror in Louisville.
I just hear really loud gunfire. I see glass just exploding.
We're learning a little bit more today about the acts of bravery and courage that happened at a bank shooting in Louisville, Kentucky yesterday, where a 25-year-old employee killed five people and injured eight after being told he was going to be fired. Three police officers were hurt. One of them, Officer Nicholas Wilt, ran toward the gunfire to save lives. That 26-year-old underwent brain surgery last night and is in critical but stable condition this afternoon.
Just graduated from the police academy on March 31st. I just swore him in.
The gunman's name, Connor Sturgeon. He was live streaming the shooting on social media and left a note. This reporter paints the scene at the bank today.
There is a sense of sadness you can absolutely feel here in Louisville today. The crime scene tape has just come down here outside Old National Bank, where a federal law enforcement official says this is now being investigated as an act of workplace violence.
Louisville's mayor knows his community's fear and anger. He survived a shooting at his own campaign headquarters last year.
I learned firsthand that you have to find inner courage and strength that you may not have even known that you have had to keep moving forward.
Five patients are still being treated at the hospital. One patient upgraded from critical to fair condition. One of two Democrats expelled in the Tennessee State House over a demonstration against gun violence on the House floor may get a seat back tomorrow. This reporter spoke with Justin Pearson today.
Why is it important for them to appoint you, not for you, but as a message?
It is important that we send a clear message that the people in District 86 representation matters, and that this illegitimate disenfranchisement of their vote and of their choice is wrong.
Republicans say the issue isn't with gun control. The issue was lawmakers acting like toddlers and stopping House business with megaphones and protests on the voting floor. What is next for the abortion pill that's stuck in limbo? One judge ordered the FDA revoke approval. A second judge says it's safe. The Department of Justice now appealing that Texas judge's decision that would block access to this pill. Where are we today?
The Justice Department basically just wants a placeholder just to keep everything in status quo as it exists right in this moment. And the Fifth Circuit has essentially said, let's hear from the plaintiffs, the anti-abortion groups and doctors that brought this lawsuit before we rule. We want to hear from them. So watch for that response to come late tonight by midnight.
The White House press secretary issued a statement today arguing the drug has been on the market for more than 20 years and is used in more than 60 countries. The Texas judge says to date, the FDA still has not run clinical trials to prove its safety for women, and cases of injury are underreported. Bad news on the economy today. The International Monetary Fund is downgrading its outlook for the global economy amid inflation and worries about banks. It is the weakest forecast on global growth since 1990. Here's reporter Vicky Barker.
Not technically in recession, but the IMF says persistent inflation, persistently rising interest rates, and nervousness over the recent U.S. bank collapses are all putting the brakes on global growth.
This year's slowdown is concentrated in advanced economies, where growth is expected to fall to 1.3% this year, before increasing modestly next year.
The IMF's Pierre-Olivier Gorincha. The risk of recession has risen sharply, but the IMF puts the risk of a global banking crisis at a modest 15%.
They say world economic growth will be around 3 to 5% 5 years from now. President Biden is on his way to Northern Ireland for a four-day trip. Here's reporter Stephen Portnoy.
The first Irish Catholic president since John F. Kennedy, Joe Biden will spend much of his time on this island visiting the counties where his ancestors were born. But first, a speech here in Belfast marking the 25th anniversary of the peace deal that ended decades of violence between Catholics and Protestants.
He'll meet with British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak later today when he lands in Belfast. A bill ending the national COVID emergency has been signed by Biden. The GOP-led resolution was opposed by most Democrats in the House, but the White House has said it would not veto the measure if it made it to Biden's desk. A volcano erupted in Russia today. The Shivlach volcano resulted in lava flows along with a massive cloud of ash that billowed into the air, blanketing entire villages in volcanic dust in the far eastern reaches of the country. It also triggered an aviation warning that could affect international and low-flying aircraft in the region. So far, there have been no reports of casualties. And heads weren't the only thing spinning at one Canadian library after a surprise return.
The Toronto Public Library is used to items being overdue, so much that late fines were eliminated last year to encourage people to bring items back. Well, librarians at one of the library's branches were shocked when a vinyl record recently returned to the facility turned out to be more than 40 years overdue. When officials checked the date card, they found the album was originally due back October 5th, 1982. In a social media post, the library said the record features Renaissance-era music from the German composer Michael Pretorius. Officials did not say if this was the latest return ever for the library, but one has to imagine it must be some sort of record. Brian Querry, Family Life News.
Still to come on the Noon Report, not waiting for the state, one school district takes swatting incidents into their own hands. Flames in Scranton tore through two apartments and three businesses, and half of Pennsylvania's counties are now at a high risk for a wildfire. But first, weather with Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. I'm Kevin Williams. Spring fever conditions continue across our region today, with the expectation of warm air lingering into the start of the upcoming weekend. I'll have forecast details up in 10 minutes.
Thank you, Kevin. Checking the stories, making news where you live across New York and Pennsylvania. New York Senator Chuck Schumer paid a visit to Syracuse yesterday. He wants young adults to pursue math and science careers. Schumer stopped at a business that makes microchips called Micron.
Micron will be reaching out to these universities and community colleges and tell them, here's the workers we need. And the second step is that the NSF then comes and gives the universities the money they need to train these workers.
He was announcing a partnership with Micron and 20 colleges across New York State. The chip giant will invest $100 billion to create thousands of tech jobs. Some of the colleges participating include Syracuse University, Cornell, RIT, and Onondaga Community College. From a senator to a lieutenant governor, Austin Davis stopped by Scranton Monday to tout a proposed expansion of a program that helps older Pennsylvanians stay in their homes. Davis stopped by the West Side Senior Center to talk about the property tax and home rebate program. The program gives rebates to low-income renters and homeowners. Governor Shapiro's budget includes an expansion so 175,000 more Pennsylvanians would qualify.
We need to make sure that working-class folks, vulnerable populations, are able to access it. And so we're thrilled that we're going to be able to expand this program to a new class of folks who may have gotten pushed out or who may have not gotten it before in the past.
If approved, you would qualify for those tax rebates if you make less than $45,000 per year. Flames tore through a row of buildings in Scranton yesterday, leaving half a dozen people homeless. It was a chaotic scene. Two apartments were left vacant, three businesses shuttered, and six people without a house.
Heavy fire on the front of the building when we first got here. All the occupants were out. Commercial on the ground floor, multiple apartments above. We're able to stop the fire and isolate it to this portion of the block.
Jenna Muldoon was inside her apartment when she noticed something was wrong.
It really got quiet for a minute. Somebody came in the hallway, started screaming, fire, fire. At that point, I smelt it. As soon as I look out my window, I see flames just literally in my face.
Bob Clea gave a shout out to the men that risked their lives for his business.
It has been tough, but luckily, thank God for the Scranton Fire Department. They saved 40 years of martial arts memorabilia and items that are just irreplaceable. And if it wasn't for those guys being here like at the drop of a dime and doing their job like to the best of their ability, we wouldn't be able to function.
No one was hurt and no word on the cause. Not waiting on the state for help. A school district in Western New York is done with swatting. That's those prank calls that put SWAT teams on school grounds to ward off an imaginary gunman. One school has taken matters into its own hands. Tonawanda City School District in Amherst just brought in armed school resource officers to patrol the hallways. This is the head of Vista Security who provides the guards.
We have definitely in the last 5 years seen a complete uptick in the number of schools and school districts looking for additional security officers to supplement their resources that they receive from their local municipalities. If you are going to take the step of putting a person with a firearm into a school, you want to ensure that that person has received years and years and years of training with that firearm.
The move is in response to the Nashville school shooting and the more than 220 schools that were pranked in New York State.
You have a dedicated officer, a dedicated police officer to one school. The students become familiar with that officer, and it breaks down the, for lack of a better term, the scariness of having a police officer in a school. The kids become comfortable. The kids become reliant upon that officer's presence.
Several other schools statewide have contacted the same firm used by Amherst about security upgrades and audits for their own safety. More than half of Pennsylvania's counties are at a high-level risk for wildfires, including most of the northern tier, according to the DCNR's Bureau of Forestry. As of April 10th, 35 of 67 Pennsylvania counties were placed in a high level of risk, including Erie and Crawford County and Potter, Tioga, and Bradford counties. Crews battled a large brush fire in Lackawanna County on Monday that started with a small fire behind a garage and spread into Dixon City. It took a helicopter to get it out due to the steep incline on the mountain face. A state lawmaker held a roundtable discussion on ways to bring high-speed internet to rural areas of Pennsylvania. People in the crowd were cheering and said, hurry.
We heard from the mayor. We heard from other leading officials where they themselves were experiencing interruptions in broadband.
They said Monday, slow internet impacts job applications, education, and even telemedicine. Gene Sperling is a senior advisor to President Biden, and he made a pit stop in Carbon County on Monday. He says cash is already been sent aside. All Pennsylvania needs to do is ask for it.
This first $200 million that is going to the state of Pennsylvania, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, is designed to go exactly to communities like the Bureau of Weatherly and areas in Carbon County.
Each county says they're all vying for a piece of the pot.
We're going to work like our tails off to make sure that a substantial part of that gets to Carbon County so that we actually can see some of these problems solved as soon as possible.
Sperling says some of the money is in the hands of Governor Josh Shapiro and will be distributed statewide to speed up the internet for you. An ongoing project revamping rest stops along the New York State Thruway wasn't supposed to cost state taxpayers a dime, but now the company doing the work is asking the state for a $260 million bailout. We get details from Family Life's Mark Webster.
Yeah, you might have seen some of the new Thruway stops featuring upgraded dining choices, Shake Shack, Chick-fil-A. The plan was for the private company doing the work to foot the bill in exchange for 33-year leases at the sites and a cut of sales. Now the contractors say they need a $250 million taxpayer bailout to keep the company from going under and the upgrade project from grinding to a halt. Not clear if their wish will be granted. A Hochul administration spokesman says they're working with the company to help them deliver on their contract. Mark Webster, Family Life News.
And Feedmore's Western New York has been around for a year trying to fight hunger in the western corners of the Empire State, and it's making an impact.
It looks just like a food truck, but it's a farmer's market when it opens up.
So far, there are three farmer's market trucks bringing fresh produce directly to neighborhoods that need more access to healthy food.
They pull in so you can walk on the sidewalk so there's no cars going by you or anything like that.
Picture an ice cream truck without the music, stocked with collard greens, beets, and green peppers. One of the newest stops is Westminster Charter School in Buffalo.
The kids are like, oh yeah, remember the green peppers? I thought they'd be spicy, but they weren't spicy. So I told my mom if she put green peppers in my food, I would eat it, but not the jalapeno peppers. So kids are not going to go home and say, I learned how to add 2 + 3 today, but they will definitely go home and say, we went outside to the farm truck and we got to learn where they came from.
They try to have 6 to 12 different fruits and vegetables per truck with some Stranger Things on board as well. Families with SNAP benefits can use their card to pay. It's time to check in now with our own Randy Snavely for sports. This is Family Life News.
Good afternoon, I'm Randy Snavely. Sarah, the Buffalo Sabres still have hopes of making the playoffs. They beat the Rangers in a 3-2 shootout last night. J.J. Paterka and Casey Mittelstadt scored for Buffalo. Sabres now 5 points behind the Islanders for that final playoff spot. The Isles fell to the Caps 5-2. Also skating to wins, Dallas, Toronto, Ottawa, Winnipeg, Minnesota, Nashville, Seattle, and Los Angeles. To baseball, Max Scherzer had his A game going on in the Queens last night as he shut down the powerful Padres over 5 innings. Striking out 6 and allowing only 1 hit, the Mets beat the Pods 5-0. Shane Bieber gave up 2 runs over 7 to lead the Guardians past the Yankees 3-2. Giancarlo Stanton drove in both Yankee runs. It was a big night for Alex Baum and the Philadelphia Phillies. Baum hit a 3-run shot and drove in 6. The Phils crushed the Marlins 15-3. Pirates fell to Houston 8-2 and also received the news that they're going to be without O'Neill Cruz for most of the season. Cruz fractured his leg and tore some ligaments in his ankle. He's going to be out at least 4 months and maybe more. Elsewhere on the diamond, the White Sox beat the Twins 4-3. Baltimore defeated Oakland 5-1. Tampa Bay won their 10th straight, 1-0 over Boston. And Texas dominated KC 11-2. In the National League, the Braves 1-10, 5-4 over the Reds. Colorado knocked off the Cardinals 7-4. Arizona shut out Milwaukee 3-0. The Dodgers 9-1 winners over the Giants. And in interleague play, your winner, the Cubs 3-2 over the Mariners, and the Nats were 6-4 winners over the Angels. That is a look at sports.
Still to come on the Noon Report, don't put your kids in blue bathing suits. A warning, the long emergency room waits in New York State might get shorter, and a birthday for the city of Binghamton. This is the Noon Report on Family Life.
Welcome to Breakpoint, daily look at an ever-changing culture through the lens of unchanging truth. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. According to the CDC, 20% of American children are, by medical definition, obese. Recently, attempting to combat this growing epidemic, the American Academy of Pediatrics released new guidelines recommending behavioral and nutritional therapy for children as young as 6 years old and weight loss medications and maybe even surgery for children as young as 13 years old. The new guidelines drew fire from two opposite directions. Some referred to the guidelines as just another example of the healthcare industry trying to fix every physical problem with a medical solution, rather than encouraging broader personal and social changes necessary in both lifestyle and food production. A very different but just as strong reaction came from advocates of what's now being called the fat positivity movement. Obesity, this movement argues, should never be stigmatized. Some advocates even claim that just acknowledging that there are behavioral factors behind obesity or medical risk associated with being overweight amounts to being fat phobic or fat shaming. Now, Christians should immediately reject ever-changing cultural standards of beauty that so often function in a culture as moral imperatives. We reject all cultural messages, implicit or explicit, that dehumanize those that are deemed, whether rightly or wrongly, to be overweight. A Christian worldview unequivocally affirms that every human being, no matter their appearance, no matter their size, bears the image of God, and therefore possesses an inherent and eternal dignity. The unrealistic and unhealthy expectations that have been hoisted, especially on women, have caused serious harm. Recent and more careful efforts in media and elsewhere to represent people with diverse physical characteristics have been important changes. Reducing people down with culturally contingent physical standards can never be fixed by different culturally contingent objectification. Neither is it progress to dismiss the reality of our bodies altogether. In a reaction to the American Academy of Pediatrics' new guidelines, one opinion writer at the New York Times accused health officials of waging a war against, quote, kids in larger bodies. Now notice this choice of language, kids in larger bodies. as if kids are something separate from their bodies. According to the new Gnosticism, the real us is how we feel. Our bodies are just a heap of matter that we inhabit, and we can ignore or manipulate or harm them in service of our self-expression. That same Gnostic impulse is what animates the transgender movement. We're watching in real time just how dangerous this ideology is when it's medicalized. After the new obesity guidelines dropped, high-profile medical officials criticized the recommendations, said that they were running too fast towards invasive medical procedures like weight loss surgeries for young kids when we don't have enough data on the long-term effects of these treatments. One NYU bioethicist called the strategy a, quote, band-aid that would only mask the real issues underlying childhood obesity. If only that same logic were applied to so-called transgender medicine. Humans are not souls who happen to have bodies. God formed humans out of the dust of the ground, physical, and breathed into them the breath of life, spiritual. To be human is to be physical and spiritual. And of course, Jesus Christ came to the world embodied. He rose from the dead bodily. The fat positivity movement risks sending the message that we can be healthy in any size as long as we identify as healthy, as if our feelings can change reality, and that mental health should always take priority over physical health, as if mental health is unrelated to physical health. We need not deny reality to affirm that every person, and therefore every body, possesses dignity and deserves respect and kindness. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Romans that, quote, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to our mortal bodies. Our bodies are not perfect yet. We shouldn't pretend that they are, nor should we shame anyone because they are not. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street with Breakpoint. And for more resources to live like a Christian today, go to ColsonCenter.org.
Let's get an update on the weather from our own Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. For this afternoon, mild and breezy with clouds, partial sunshine, high temperatures, 60s and low 70s, cooler though near the shores of Lake Erie in Ontario. Some clouds, mild tonight, low temps near 50. Tomorrow, a good deal of sunshine, high temps, mid-60s to mid-70s, cooler near Lake Erie in Ontario. And Thursday, golden sun, warm, high in the 70s to near 80 in spots, but again, afternoon cooling near Lake Erie in Ontario.
This is the Noon Report on Family Life, and I'm your host, Sarah Harnish. Here's what's happening this Tuesday afternoon, the 11th of April. Louisville residents are in mourning after Monday's mass shooting. Paul Miles has this.
24 hours after a gunman killed five people in the Old National Bank, the building remains closed. The shattered windows replaced by plywood boards. Cleveland Howard lives nearby, and he came to the front steps of the building this morning to say a prayer for the victims.
As a mass shooting, you don't really understand it. This is in your backyard. And I live in Butchertown right here. Me and my kids walk here. We go to the baseball field. It's different when it's in your backyard.
Outside the bank's front doors, someone has left a memorial for the shooting victims. A candle surrounded by rose petals in the shape of a heart. In downtown Louisville, I'm Paul Miles.
President Biden heads to Belfast in Northern Ireland today to mark the 25th anniversary of the Good Friday Agreement. It's the first stop on a trip that will also include a visit to the Republic of Ireland. Now, here's something that you don't think about. No blue bathing suits for kids.
Don't buy blue bathing suits.
Nikki Scarnati is a certified infant swimming instructor and recently shared the dangers of wearing swimsuits that match water.
Look how difficult it is to see her under the water. And this is in calm water. This is not with a whole bunch of other kids playing and splashing around and having a good time.
She says certain blues can camouflage your kids, making it tough to tell if they're in trouble.
That's reporter Monica Ricks. Hospitals across the Empire State are trying to cut down on wait times in the emergency room. Nurses say there's a shift happening for how they cared for patients during COVID-19.
We were diagnosing patients with cancer, which is not something we do in the emergency room.
In a letter to President Biden, the American Nurses Association says staffing shortages have hit a crisis point. Wait times at hospitals across New York State are increasing. Rochester, Middletown, Buffalo, Albany. Total ER times have eclipsed 4 and sometimes even 5 hours. Allenville Hospital President Stephen Kelly says when he started 20 years ago, patients spent about 3 hours in the ER.
I view the wait time as a quality measure from a patient's perspective.
His hospital is now second in the state for ER wait times.
Nursing does their assessment very quickly. and so does the provider. It's a race to get to the patient.
Kelly says they've shared their methods with other hospitals across the state with the hope that they can speed up their wait times. He says most don't care how long you wait. And the city of Binghamton has celebrated its 156th birthday. The city was officially incorporated by the Act of New York State Legislature on April 9, 1867. Due to the presence of several stately homes, it was nicknamed the Parlor City. It grew into an industrial city. It started with just 200 people and grew to a population of over 48,000. Happy birthday, Binghamton. This is the Noon Report on Family Life. And now in our special feature report, during his nationally broadcast comments about yesterday's Louisville shooting, Kentucky's governor was outspoken about his personal faith and the hope that Jesus Christ brings even in tragedies. Most places you may not hear coverage of that aspect of the Easter Monday incident, but we want to give you more about how the good news intersects with bad news as spoken by one Christian elected official. Greg Gillespie narrates today's special feature.
In this special feature on Family Life, we return to Louisville, Kentucky. Someone came to a bank, shot more than a dozen people. There were deaths and hospitalizations. But something that was not heard on most news coverage, we have the privilege to bring to you as Christian broadcasters. At a long news conference Monday afternoon, just hours after that incident happened, the governor of Kentucky spoke for 6.5 minutes. More than half of his time, he was speaking of matters of faith, particularly Christian faith. Because you don't get to hear that many other places, we're going to offer some of his comments here for you in these next few minutes. One of the things that Kentucky Governor Andy Beshear talked about was the death in that shooting of his friend Tommy. He offered condolences for all the families affected, but talked about how he was personally affected as well.
We lost 4 children of God today, one of whom was one of my closest friends. Tommy Elliott helped me build my law career, helped me become governor, gave me advice on being a good dad. He's one of the people I talk to most in the world, and very rarely were we talking about my job. He was an incredible friend. We also lost Juliana Farmer, Jim Tutt, Josh Barrick, each amazing people whose families grieve them, whose community will mourn and will miss them. These are irreplaceable, amazing individuals that a terrible act of violence tore from all of us.
Monday afternoon, Governor Beshear also talked about the power of prayers.
A need for our care and, yes, for our prayers, because I believe that prayers lift all of us up, and those families would appreciate them.
One of the reasons we're sharing the Kentucky Governor's Easter Monday comments is to help us in all of our circumstances to deal with matters of life and faith together, especially when a tragedy happens, one that could be of a national level or affecting a community or a congregation or an individual or a family. That is something that Governor Andy Beshear saw at University of Louisville Hospital on Monday morning.
I was in a room where one of those families that are rightfully worried got an update. And it was one that was specific, but also provided with compassion. These doctors and nurses are fighting for the lives of our friends, of our family, and we are deeply grateful to them. I think what we need most right now, in a word, is love.
On Family Life, we're sharing with you a sampling of some of the extended comments by Kentucky's governor following a fatal shooting incident at a bank in Louisville Easter Monday morning. Governor Beshear, a professing Christian, was unashamed in speaking at a public news conference about the power of love, particularly Christian love.
I mean, just love. Love for these families. They're going to need it. I can tell you. I've talked to them. I'm very close with one of them. They are going to need that love, and we need love for each other. It seems like we argue so much in this country, so much anger, but I still believe that love and compassion and humanity can lead us to a better place. Now, this is hard. It's really hard the day after Easter.
There was no separation of church and state in the news conference Monday afternoon in the largest city in Kentucky, as Governor Beshear took more than a minute to speak the Easter story.
Now, Easter is about a rebirth, a better world, one where we're all supposed to work together to get there. one that's supposed to teach us love from a Savior that came. The world fell in love with him not because of his power, but for his compassion. And I believe what we can do, whether it's any faith or just your values, is ensure that today, more than anything, is about these families. It's about those families that are afraid they're going to lose their loved one, about those that have been through the worst and while may have survived, are going to bear the scars inside and outside today. It's got to be about them and the heroic actions of everybody who responded. And yes, I know, in the days to come, we'll talk about issues. But I think the thing that people get wrong after the most difficult of times and days, and as governor, I've had to see a lot of them, is that today ought to be focused on my friend and on everybody else's friends and loved ones that are no longer with us.
For those who are hurting, those who are healing, those who aren't sure if their loved one will heal, and for those who lost their life in another incident of violence, Governor Andy Beshear spoke about the power of Jesus Christ in his resurrection.
My faith teaches me that while the body is mortal, the soul is eternal. And so I know that I will see Tommy again. And I know that all of these families and friends in this community, we will be reunited in a better place without violence, without the senselessness and hurt that we feel today. We will get through this. We'll get through this together. It's the only way. And we'll march forward. And my hope is that in honor of those that have fallen today or that may still fall, we can be better and we can do better. We can care about and love each other just a little bit more.
This has been a special feature on Family Life, recalling some of the faith-based, unashamedly Christian comments by Kentucky's Governor Andy Beshear during his presentation at a news conference in Louisville on Monday afternoon.
You can hear this feature on the news podcast page at familylife.org. Let's check in one last time with our own Kevin Williams and weather.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. The jet stream realigned from what it was last week, and the result, a mild and mostly dry fair weather pattern that'll carry us through the work week into the start of the upcoming weekend. Things change thereafter. A potent cold front arrives later in the weekend with showers and much chillier air next week. There may be snowflakes in the air a week from today. In the meantime, for this afternoon, mild and breezy with clouds, partial sunshine, high temperatures, 60s and low 70s, cooler though near the shores of Lake Erie in Ontario. Some clouds, mild tonight, low temps near 50. Tomorrow, a good deal of sunshine, high temps, mid-60s to mid-70s, cooler near Lake Erie in Ontario. And Thursday, golden, sun, warm, high in the 70s to near 80 in spots, but again, afternoon cooling near Lake Erie in Ontario.
We'll take it. That's 20 degrees above the norm for this time of year. Finally at noon, the Clarence High School Wind Ensemble in Coral is preparing to head to Virginia Beach for a performance. They're pretty amazing. They're not going from Western New York to D.C. for a competition or for fun. They're traveling because they've been chosen to play for the U.S. military.
It's not just another concert. This is something they'll remember for the rest of their lives.
Louis Vitillo is the Clarence Music Department chairman.
Going down to a military base and performing for active military that don't always get the thanks that they deserve for what they do for our country, and having a bunch of ambassadors that are in high school make that statement for them is just overwhelming.
The Clarence High School Wind Ensemble leaves next Friday to play for our active duty soldiers. And that is the world that we live in for Tuesday, the 11th of April. I'm Sarah Harnish, and this is Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.